Bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. Pleasing in your sight, Lord, you are my rock, my redeemer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and it's what's known actually in many ways as the first day of Holy Week leading up to Easter. And in that sense, Christmas, we have Advent, and then Christmas week, there's just, you know, the night before Christmas and Christmas Day. But during Lent, we have 40 days leading up to this week, basically, and then we spend the entire week celebrating this event that takes place. And just looking at the time frame that's allotted, Lent and Easter by far get more air time, so to speak. And it's probably the most important event in our Christian calendar. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I did read just recently, actually, and I'm going to say the 16th century, sometime in the 1500s, the Scottish Presbyterians banned Christmas completely. It's because people were spending too much time focused on Christmas and thought that was important, and all the parties that were going on, and completely forgot Easter. So their solution was, you're not going to have that, you'll have that. So, and for a while, it was very strict, because they wanted this Easter week, this time of Lent, to be the central focus of our calendar and in our lives. And it's difficult in the day and age we live. We can see where Christmas has kind of taken over in so many ways. This is the holiday for us. This is high holiday time for us, high holy time, high holy days for us as Christian believers, because it's this week, and particularly next weekend, that makes all the difference of who we are. It was Palm Sunday a few years ago, but there was a sore throat. Little Johnny, he had that sore throat, and he had to stay home from church with a sitter. The family came home from church, and they were carrying palm fronds, much like we have here for us today. Johnny asked them, what were they for? And they said, people held them over the head of Jesus as he walked by, his father told him. Well, wouldn't you know it, Johnny fumed, the first Sunday I don't go, and he shows up. Well, we're celebrating Christ coming into our midst today in that wonderful way. We live our lives often full of choices and end up living sometimes in extremes. At one moment, we can be laughing, and the next, it very often can be that we're feeling alone and desperate. Maybe there's the results of choices that we've made or other that happen in our lives. Either extreme, it seems to be at the base of the outcome that we face ourselves with, good or bad. I think that our psalm today expresses that very effectively, that where are you, God? What's gone on? Maybe the results of a choice that we've made causes these extremes to seem really out of whack, whether they're good or bad. And with that in mind, this is the idea of our theme that we've been dealing with through all of Lent, the crucified king, and today's sermon title being The King Chooses. We all are faced with choices all through our lives, lots of choices. Jesus was faced with some very important choices, in particularly this week that we celebrate. Now, when I say this week, I don't mean that on March the whatever, Jesus showed up at Jerusalem. We're celebrating the events that took place over the period of that week. And that's the other thing that gets confused with Christmas. Often people think, well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Who cares? The point is we're celebrating his birth. Whether this happened specifically on this date in our calendar, it was during Passover, whatever date that would have been, but we're thinking of the timelines here. Sunday to Sunday, basically, is what we're talking about. And the choices that Jesus and others made during that time. Jesus' triumphal entry from John says, when the great crowd of Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. And there's that Lazarus guy showing up again. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Yeah, good, you're in there. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, and it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done for him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they had heard he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. Now, it's interesting, just sidebar comment a little bit here, when we read this account from the Gospel of John, it differs a little bit from Matthew, but one of the points John makes very clearly several times over, he mentions Lazarus being at the meal with Mary. He mentions Lazarus here in the triumphal entrance to Jerusalem. It didn't just, Lazarus' story being raised from the dead wasn't just a one out. Lazarus went around telling everybody, and the people that were there that day went around telling everybody, he raised this guy from the dead. And it really does bring that story kind of bigger, because it should have been a big deal. Somebody raised from the dead. And he was like, he was buried and done, and he got up. And it disturbed a lot of people, as well as it excited a lot of people. So again, sidebar comment there, but Lazarus is part of this story very much still. Anyway, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And what a difference a few days and a few choices on the part of the people of the city of Jerusalem, the disciples, and Jesus himself makes in this story of Jesus. And choices such as this can certainly affect our lives. One day is full of praise and singing and palm leaves and glory, and a couple of days later, it seems, or a few choices later, suffering and pain, and in Jesus' case, death. Don't some of our days seem to be stressed out in similar ways? One day we're praised, one day things are going great, a few days later, a few choices or decisions later, we're despised and things are just gone wrong. We can easily go from one extreme to the next and seem what can seem to be a heartbeat. We use the word sometimes in these extremes when things that we've chosen to do don't work out as well. We use the word regret. And a friend of mine, maybe 25 years ago now, came to me and said, "Do you have any regrets in your life?" And I answered, "No," and I'll explain that. And he was surprised. He wasn't looking at maybe things that we should have said that we shouldn't have said. There's lots of things I've said that I shouldn't have said. I don't know if I put those in the area of regret in the context of what my friend was asking me. My friend was asking because I know where his life had gone. He'd made some decisions. He ended up in a bad relationship. He ended up out of work, all these things. And he's looking back going, "Well, if I'd only stayed here, if I'd only done, things would have been better." And I said to him at the time, and I say to you today, pick an event that you would put in that category. What would you really change that would really have made a difference to who you are today? Who you are today. Now, it's difficult sometimes when we think about who we are today, possibly, because choices that we've made, maybe families aren't working out so well, or maybe I'm not so happy with my personality. But the reality is, God loves you who you are today. And we have to believe that as we trust God in our lives, God is directing us and protecting us and leading us. That makes us who we are today, good, bad, or otherwise. God still loves us. Don and I watched a movie yesterday that we've heard about, Mom's Night Out. Lovely, it's a Christian film and has a great message to it. There's a lot of good acting and whatnot in it. But I think that one of the messages that comes out more towards the end of that film is essentially because this one character in the film is feeling like she just can't do enough. She's failing her family. She's just not the good enough mom that she wants to be. She's not the good enough wife that friend that she wants to be. And at one point towards the end, someone says, "You know, God loves you as you are. You're not based on the choices you've made or not made. God doesn't love you because of the regrets you have in your life or don't have in your life. God just loves you as you are." And we have to believe that the path that we have walked up to today, this very moment, this morning, each of us has walked, and each one of us has a great story. One of the things that I love when I'm visiting folks, one of the things I love when I'm meeting new people, if I'm at the hospital for any reason, is to hear the stories. Because everybody's got one. And it's great. Everybody has their path that they've walked to get to here this morning. And if everybody thought about it just for a moment, let's go back in time to when you woke up today. And go through your timeline in your mind to when you're sitting here right now. There's 100 people plus here. We've got 100 different stories. We've got 100 different ways that we've come here today. And those ways, God has guided you. God has been a part of that. And it's hard when we think of some of the choices that we may have made in the midst of getting here this morning. Maybe I yelled at somebody today, or maybe my kids weren't cooperating and I kind of did one of these to get out the door, Well, the behavior maybe we can change. But it's all made us who we are. And no matter who that is in your mind, God loves it. God loves you as you are. And Jesus had to make some very tough choices in the week leading up to Easter week. And because the church has been around for so long and we've all been coming to church for so long, we already know the story of the cross. It's empty. We know how that ends. But this day, if we put ourselves into this moment, we don't know that ending yet. We have a hint if we tell the whole story through the week, and that's what we'll be doing this week, on Thursday night at our service, on Friday morning at our service, and next Sunday at our service. We'll be completing this story. Jesus rode in triumphantly. The people were cheering. Jesus had to make a choice, which we read about in Gethsemane, and those stories when he was praying. He struggled with these choices himself. He struggled almost in a way with who he was. Just like we can struggle with who we are sometimes because of choices that we've made in our lives. But God loved him and had a plan for him and us at the same time. And Jesus chose this path to come in triumphantly and to go out less triumphantly in the end, but to come back. Today is Palm Sunday. Glorious times, and it's like I say, the beginning of our Holy Week, where we hear and we read about the passion of Christ, and what that means is the suffering of Christ, in fancy terms. This week starts off with songs and praise and hosannas. And then after a bunch of people make some choices, it winds up on Good Friday with sadness and death. But we can hang on to something because we do know the rest of the story. Easter's coming. That's a spoiler in case you didn't know that. Just, that Jesus does rise from the dead. I just like to point that out because you never know. There could be somebody in the crowd who doesn't know the end of that story. You never know. It's a good story because it's a story that doesn't end in sadness and death despite the choices that were made by people in this story leading up to this. It ends with victory and glory for all. It just doesn't end at a sorrowful point. It ends with victory and glory for all, even though some decisions were clearly made trying to make the outcome a different way. Our lives often can be full of distress and stress and pressure, especially when we face a lot of difficult decisions and choices that we have to make. Things can suddenly not be going so well. The term that came into my mind this week, these things that come up during the week often, I really do believe it's leading us God's Spirit. The term long game came into my mind this week in some conversations I was having with different people. Versus as opposed to the short game. Now, I am not a sports person. Look at me. Unless sumo wrestling was part of my career, this is not the sports guy that I... So sports analogies I rarely give. But the idea of the long game versus the short game. We can lose a bit of ground in the short game because in the long run, we know what's coming. Today, we can lose some ground because we know that next Sunday's got something in the long game ready for us. We can take that same principle in the choices that we make. Instead of dwelling on and regretting choices that we've made in the shorter game, we know that in the long game, the choice that Jesus has made brought him to the resurrection. And that's the word I wanted to get into here. The resurrection. What does the resurrection represent for us? A choice that Jesus made to die. A choice that Jesus made to resurrect, because resurrection is not just coming back from the dead. Lazarus did that. Okay. He caused some trouble when he came back, and people talked about it. But Jesus didn't just come back from the dead in that resurrection. He conquered death. And I'm digressing slightly here, but I want to for a reason. more or less what we were talking a little bit about last week. Jesus rose from the dead to conquer death. There is one thing in this world that's true. It's a hard thing to hear, but at the end of our life, there's an end. It is. There's an end. It's the big D word, which I'm not even going to say out loud, because it's a hard word for us to always say. But there's an ending. But Jesus changed that in his resurrection. And that's the hope that we have as Christians. There is more beyond the end of my life. Jesus made that possible. That resurrected Lord conquered death, because that was the penalty of sin. He conquered that for each of us. He made a choice for us. And it's a great choice. Easter Sunday's coming, but today we shout, Hosanna. Yeah, we do. Amen. So, here's something for today. It's Palm Sunday. It's a glorious time. We can reflect on the majesty of our Lord as we remember that triumphant entry. Everybody shouting, Hosanna. He's our King. He's our Messiah. It's the beginning of Holy Week, the last final week of Lent. And we're here to reflect on the suffering as the week goes on, as Jesus is betrayed and arrested and beaten and finally killed on that machine of torture, the cross. But during this Easter week, we are witnessing Jesus' best and worst moments, the best choices that he could make ultimately in his life for our lives. And we may have had good times in the past, we may have had not so great times in the past, but Jesus has enjoyed all of those extremes on our behalf. Our scriptures, the Word of God, speaks of those times too as a form of encouragement for all of us. One thing that we should be doing this week in particular, and I'd like you to do, read that part of the gospel message of this week. It's in all four gospels, and every gospel tells it a little differently. See if you can find the differences. See if you can identify the choices being made by Jesus and other people surrounding his life. And see how all those choices put the puzzle pieces together. And we have the glorious time of the resurrected Lord on Easter Sunday. Jesus is King. He chose that path set out before him with joy, as we're told in Hebrews. Jesus the King chooses for us and chooses us for all our good, all our bad, and hard times. Hosanna. Amen. God has given us his only child, Jesus, the way of our salvation. It is our time now to give generously as God has blessed and given to us for God's work. Amen.